Hare Krishna. Yesterday was Govardhan Puja, and tomorrow here in Yavajradam we'll also be having a bigger celebration, observance. Yesterday we also had observance, but in order to facilitate devotees coming out, we'll have the festival tomorrow. And I just want to speak a little briefly about one of the many messages that are there in this wonderful pastime, because the observance and celebration of these pastimes are meant to not only just glorify Krishna, but meant for us to actually review our own lives, see how these things are relevant to us, see whether we're actually in line with Krishna. Both our daily spiritual life as well as festivals are an opportunity to ask, are we lined up? Are we following Krishna's message? And of course Krishna gives us his message in many different ways and through many different pastimes, and that's the variegatedness, that's the opportunity that we have to really vamp up our devotional service, our Krishna consciousness. Now, I'm not going to describe the pastime in depth. I think devotees probably heard it yesterday and know it. But one of the essential foundational points was that although the Brijbasis were devotees, they were associates of the Lord, were very pious, still, they were diluting their devotion to Krishna by depending on the demigods. And seeing things in a sort of materialistic cause and effect way. And Krishna was really displeased with that. Especially it didn't make for a good example for later on. Krishna wanted the cowherd men to just fully depend on him and show this business of just mame kam saranam bhajam, of just depending on Krishna. When Krishna came and he made this proposal, let's take the offering for Indra and offer it to Govardhan Hill, the cows and the Brahmins. Nanda Maharaj gave a very logical argument. His logical argument was that Indra, of course, their type of materialists are a little different. They believed in demigods and personal controllers of the universe and so on, and sacrifice and austerity and self-control, a little different than today's materialists. But still, Nanda Maharaj gave this argument that Indra controls the rain. When the rain falls, then we have good the grasses are very abundant. Good grasses means the cows are very healthy. That means they produce lots of milk. We get both ghee for the performance of sacrifice, and also obviously a lot of milk products are produced from that. Therefore, our livelihood is dependent on King Indra. Completely logical. But Krishna says, no, your livelihood depends upon Govardhan Hill. And then he gave the different arguments for that. Why? Because ultimately, whatever Krishna points to, although we may think that the immediate cause of something is Indra, the ultimate cause was Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Deva Bhava Yatanina. The demigods, they only distribute and give blessings according to what they've been allowed to do by Krishna himself. If Krishna says no, then they can't do anything. They have no independent power. In the same way, by the laws of karma, modern materialistic people think, yes, I get the results of my I work hard for it. But many people work hard and they don't get the result because they don't have the karma. Ultimately, who's in charge of that? And who can transgress or have you surpass your karma? once again, its own Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate controller, and therefore Krishna wanted that for those who are actually pure devotees and those who are actually interested in spiritual life, as obviously the Brijvasis were, they shouldn't worship demigods. They shouldn't depend on anything else other than the type of formulas that Krishna gives us to depend on. And Krishna says, okay, you should just depend on Govardhan Hill. Why? Because Govardhan Hill provides the grass for our cows. Now, this isn't also a completely accurate thing. It would be accurate if they went to graze their cows on Govardhan Hill every day. But that wasn't even the case. They grazed their cows all over Vrindavan, all over Braj. Nandagram, Barsana, Kamyavan, throughout Braj, Krishna grazed his cows. So Nanda Maharaj could have easily said, well, you know, why Govardhan? Why not some other place? Why not Vrindavan as a whole? But he didn't argue. He accepted. Why? Because if Krishna says, worship Govardhan and you'll get everything, then that is what we need to have faith in. Even though logically it may appear that everything is coming from Indra, it may appear illogical because this is only part of the places where the grazing is going on. But still, one has faith in the Lord. And this is one of the issues that Govardhan Puja ceremony boils down to. Something may be very logical in terms of our frame of mind, but if it opposes Krishna's order, Krishna's instruction, then logical as it may seem, it won't work. Just like in our present society. Whereas in Govardhan Puja ceremony, Indra was the god that they all worship. Now everyone worships scientists, professors, and education is meant to be the guarantee of everything. But we see it's not a guarantee of everything. Society is collapsing. Doesn't matter what kind of education you got, you can't get a job. Neither is the money that you have worth anything. Neither may your assets be worth anything. And this is happening in the Western world, which is sort of the bastion of economic development and capitalism. So it's not working. Why? Because people are not connected and not in tune with Krishna's order. So what is faith? Faith is some kind of easy thing that you just keep making easy decisions. No, faith is particularly necessary when you have difficult decisions to make, where there's this huge big chasm that you have to cross over, and you have faith, like Prahlad Maharaj, that Krishna will catch you. So what does that mean practically for devotees? Well, Krishna's proposal was a very simple one. He's just proposing agrarian lifestyle. And that was Srila Prabhupada's proposal, live an agrarian lifestyle, depend on the cows, depend on Brahminical culture, in other words, live in a Brahminical way and be guided by the values of Vedic literature, and Govardhan Hill represents the earth and depend upon the earth. If you don't do that directly, if you don't move to a Krishna conscious farm somewhere to do that, then at least you need to be connected with these things. How do we get connected? We're connected by the principle of cow protection. Devotees talk about cow protection, how we believe in cow protection. And I'm not going to get into this, but at the same time, we buy milk in the stores on the basis of which we slaughter cows. So how am I, as an individual, protecting cows? What am I doing for cow protection? Do we as devotees have that firm conviction that a Vaishnav must protect cows? If you can't keep a cow in your backyard or on your balcony in the city, which you probably can't, then you have to participate in cow protection in the nearest Krishna conscious farm that's there. Devotees, therefore, sponsor cows. They maintain cows. Oh, but I can't necessarily afford it. You have to have faith. You have faith that Krishna is the one who gives. And if he's pleased with what you're doing, then he'll give more. And he'll give you the ability to do that. How do we worship Govardhan Hill? How do we worship the land, aside from having a Govardhan Hill ceremony? We worship it by taking the food. Either we grow our own food, or we purchase the food that comes from those farms. They may cost more, they may not look as good, but we're living off the land. This was Srila Prabhupada's formula. And of course, we worship the Brahmins. We maintain Brahmins by donating to the Brahminical culture of spreading Krishna consciousness, and we live by Brahminical values. So, Govardhan Puja is a challenge. How much faith do we have in doing these things? Do we really have faith that Krishna will provide? Or do we have faith in our own abilities, in Indras, in professors, in so-called economic solutions that run against the grain of Vedic culture or Krishna conscious culture or Krishna's instruction? So Govardhan Puja is an opportunity for us to reflect on these things. And even if we're not directly living like the cowherd man, but we need to be connected with that type of life. Otherwise, if we're disconnected, then we should assess that we may not be actually following Krishna's order in the way that he wants and not getting the real message of Govardhan Puja. Hare Krishna.